Our Bible reading today is in 1 Peter chapter 5. The book of 1 Peter chapter 5. And I'm not going to be preaching in the book of Isaiah today. I feel compelled to come to this chapter, and I trust the Lord will have a word for us all as we read and minister on 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's begin our reading at verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory, by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God, wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. I hope that today that you are able to lean on the Lord. When so much of the news is really fearful, when there's such a negative spirit and it's as if a great gloom has fallen upon our nations, how we need the hope of the Lord within our hearts. And I trust that today that as we come again to this text, 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you, that you will discover its truth, that you will learn that Jesus truly cares. And when he came into this world as our Savior, it was because he cares. When he called us to life in Christ, it is because he cares for our souls. And each and every day, the Lord remembers his people. If he remembers the sparrow that falls, how much more valuable are his own people, the children of God. And so I trust that today that you will be able to cast your burden upon the Lord, and especially for your soul's salvation. If you're not saved, if you're not born again, you're not a Christian, you need to be saved. You need to know the Lord. These are times when we cannot be sure of long life. We cannot be sure even of a day. And we need the grace of God in our souls and to have the assurance of salvation. So I'm so happy that you have joined the program. I trust you will listen all the way through, that your heart will be stirred, that you will go to the Bible, follow up these Bible passages, 1 Peter chapter 5, and that the Lord himself in grace will minister to your heart even just now as we let the Bible speak. Humility requires us to cast your care on the Lord. And I emphasize again, verse 5 and 6 go together, and they require us to humble ourselves. Now, how do we humble ourselves? I know as a parent, when I say to, when our children were small, we would say to them, humble yourself. Now, what does that really mean? It means that you back down. It means that you recognize your error. And as believers on the Savior, we recognize that we're sinners. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And you'll notice here it's something we're commanded to do. We're commanded to do it. You might say, well, I am me and I'm a pretty smart, capable person, and I will make the right decisions and I'll get through this. Well, that's not casting your care upon the Lord. That's not saying, well, you know, God gave me talents and I'll use them and I'll be fine. No, we all have to humble ourselves. We have to submit to our need of the Lord. As in the Old Testament, where the Lord in his word has taught that we're not to be like the horse or the mule that needs to be kept in by bit and bridle. And you know that young horse that we talk about champing at the bit, it's fighting it, resisting it. And you wouldn't know what direction that beast would dart in. It's a risky thing to be traveling with a young animal that's not submitting to the bit and bridle. But we're not to be like that. We're to submit. We're to acknowledge the hand of God. It's mighty. He's in control. And I'm going to place myself in the hand of the Lord. Have you done that? As a family, have you done that this week? As an individual? The fears are surrounding this, our nations, are really great. And Christians should not have fear that is just panic, but enables us to submit and humble ourselves, placing ourselves into the hands of the Lord. Now, let's do a little bit of Bible exercise here. I don't want you to fall asleep on me, so let's sit up and take our Bibles and go to the book of Ezra. Let's go to Ezra chapter 7 and verse 6. And let's see if we can find this book. First of all, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, way back in that section of the Old Testament. And we're going to look at chapter 7 and the verse 6. And there are a number of references here where we see that in a day of need, the hand of the Lord was upon Ezra. And that's what we want, isn't it? That's what will send us home today joyfully and able to fight this battle, because we know that the hand of the Lord is upon us. So if you look at Ezra chapter 7, verse 6, Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was ready, scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given, and the king granted him all his request according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. What a great thing. What a wonderful thing to have the hand of the Lord upon our lives in good times and in difficult, evil times, in health and in sickness, to have the hand of the Lord upon us. That makes all the difference. Will you accept that hand of the Lord upon your life? Will you humble yourself to the point where you say, I'm going to stop resting in myself, and I'm going to seek that hand of God upon my life to keep me, to save me, and to be with me all through this world and lead me into the world to come. Now also verse 9, upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. Now when you read that, it doesn't sound like a lot. But when you think of all that is between Babylon and Jerusalem, the distance, the time of travel, the bandits, the highwaymen, the logistics, health, strength, weariness, all of those things that might come between Babylon and Jerusalem. But he got there with the good hand of the Lord upon him. What a great testimony. And you and I can get through not only these days, but all of life with the good hand of the Lord. Now you'll notice it's a good hand. And to those who have trusted the Lord Jesus and put ourselves into the hands of the Lord, we can testify that it's a good hand that's upon us. It's not crushing. It's not destroying our life. It's making our life. The Lord's holding us up, and he's keeping us every day and every hour, and we're brought through by the good hand of the Lord. And then on down to verse 28. Here's the end of the event. Verse 27, perhaps we should read that as well. Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem, and hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors, and before all the king's mighty princes. And I was strengthened, as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me, and I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me. What a wonderful thing to be able to say, the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. Now, you could say that at the close of a single day, as you think of the events and the strength and the help and the wisdom God had given to get you through that day. You could say it at the end of your life, the hand of the Lord upon me. You could say it on your deathbed, the hand of the Lord my God upon me. As you know, I've been very concerned about this end of life program in Canada and the lie that is put out that you need to choose an end of life medical plan where you seek the services of people to end your life somewhat early. Otherwise, you're going to face a brutal, undignified death. That's not true. That's just not true. Certainly not true for the Christian, because the death of the saints of the Lord are precious in his sight. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And we're thankful for the relief of pain, the medical help the dying receive. But for the child of God who has the hand of the Lord upon him, every phase of life, the Lord is with us. And that is a reassurance we need to rest in. And by that reassurance, like the coal man, cast our care. Just dump them. Just throw them on the Lord. Don't you be carrying them now. Don't you be holding that burden any longer. Don't you be getting so crushed under the weight of it that you can't bear life. Roll it, cast it upon the Lord. That's what we're to do. And we will have the good hand of the Lord upon us along the way. Now, also we need to humble ourselves knowing that It's all grace. It's all grace. And when we come through it with the good hand of the Lord upon us, it will be much better than we deserve. That's the testimony of the Christian. Grace means undeserving mercy. And everything is more than we deserve. And while there may be pain, and while there will be disorganization, and there may be trials, I'm thinking of people who may lose jobs or lose income or struggle in business, or people who suffer illness. These are real. We don't underestimate the struggle of all of that. But in the end, to have the good hand of the Lord upon us, we receive more than we deserve. Because what do we deserve by nature? What does Canadians deserve? What do people in this nation deserve? With all the sin that abounds, the veritable Sodom and Gomorrah in so many quarters of this nation, the trends of our government to fight the Word of God and the truths of God, what does this nation deserve? Is this not a warning that our God is a God of judgment against the wicked? I think that we have to translate every earthquake, every tsunami, every tornado, every hurricane, and what do you call them in the Philippines again? Typhoons, all of those things that happen in this world. It's like the voice of God wakening people up to their real need. Now, I hope that you have this week been awakened to your need of the Savior. And the Lord says to his people, I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And so when we shelter in the Lord and know his hand upon us, we can say he's going to do us good at the end. And in that we cast our burdens upon the Lord. The point I make, and yes, I'm going to be guilty of repeating myself today. Preachers should never repeat things, at least the same way and say them in the same words over and over. We're not here just to be parrots. We're here to take the Word of God, precept upon precept, truth upon truth, and come to a logical conclusion. But the point to see here is the resting of our cares, the casting of our cares of the Lord, can only be done by humbling ourselves, ceasing to resist the Lord, recognizing his hand at work, and say, Lord, just like Saul of Tarsus, we're going to preach about this tonight. Saul of Tarsus came to this conclusion, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And when you come to that ceasing from yourself, then you begin to cast your burden, your soul, your sins, your needs upon the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, then we come to the help that the Lord gives, this lifting up, this exalting that is mentioned here, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, usually when we use the word exalt, we apply it to the Lord himself. But if you have someone down in a pit, in a place of great trial and trouble, and you lift them up out of that pit, you are exalting them. You're lifting them up out of their troubles into a place of safety. And this is what this exalting is to us. Now, there are cares that need to be cast away. There are cares that we need to be done with. Vanity, pride, lust, the worldly praise of men. And there are cares that we will never be freed from in this world. And you don't pray that you don't have that care in your life. For example, a mother's care. Mothers don't pray, Lord, take away my care from my baby or my children. You don't pray that prayer. Fathers don't pray, Lord, deliver me from the cares of being a husband and a father. Rather, we say, Lord, strengthen me in it. Thank you for the honor of being a husband and a father, and make me a blessing to my family. We pray for that. And of course, pastors, a pastor doesn't pray, Lord, take away all my thoughts of care and responsibility for my people. Let me just go to bed at night and forget all about them. Can't do that. Elders likewise. Peter was a pastor. He didn't pray for that. But there are cares that we do cast upon the Lord. And we're told here that he lifts us up, exalts, he brings us out of them. And we see in verse 8 what some of them are. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. Oh, what evils, what temptations, what sins we would be led into if we did not have the hand of the Lord upon us. And then on down to verse 10, spiritual maturity, establish, strengthen, settle you. The word perfect there I read as maturity. The God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while. Now, you see there that sufferings will come after we've suffered a while. Make you perfect, stronger. Make you stronger. One day we will talk to our children, grandchildren, and tell them in 2020 there was a pandemic and we got through it by God's grace. And boy, I never knew how to pray until 2020. I never knew how to trust the Lord until 2020 came. I was driven to my knees. I learned how not to trust in men, not to trust in machinery, not to trust in this world, but I needed to trust the Lord. And these things, the Lord lifts us up. And then to greater usefulness. Peter speaks here as almost a father figure. And he is indeed useful to the kingdom of God. And then in verse 10, you'll see, unto his eternal glory. Praise God, there is the glory land. There is a home in heaven. There is eternal life. And we as Christians are partakers in his glory. Hallelujah, amen. Pandemic or none, we're going to glory. We're going to see the King. And whether it's in 2020 or in 50 years from now, we're going to enter into that glory. Oh, that's the reassurance that Peter gives. There is the exalting in due time. And as we keep humble and trust the Lord and lean upon his word and his promises, the Lord's hand will be upon us. And he'll lead us through. And what a story God's people will have to tell. Now, I'm going to flip the coin, and I'm going to think, what will they say in hell about 2020? They might say, that's when more souls came into this place than any other year. More people died and came into the pit of hell than ever before. Louder were the screams and the cries of the wicked. God's judgment came upon them. But not a Christian. And when we get to glory, we'll tell of the grace, the undeserving mercy. I would you would trust in that mercy right now. I know there's a battle in your heart and saying, you know, I'll get out of this service and I won't have these thoughts anymore. But you do have a soul to save. There is an eternity coming. And praise God, there's a sure promise that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word saved is a Bible word. It's a gospel word. It's an invitation to you. Be saved. Saved, sure of heaven. That's the wonderful promise of the Lord. I want to sincerely thank you for coming today. I trust you will keep coming. You'll be back this evening. Be with us every meeting. We'll take whatever measures are required to just to be safe. But above all, we're going to keep trusting the Lord. We're going to keep our eyes on Him. And webcasters, I trust you'll keep joining in and that you will hear words that will enable you to look unto Jesus, who is truly the author and the finisher of our faith. He'll not leave us. He'll see us through. May you be saved today. If I can help you, I'm your servant. I'll be glad to talk with you one-to-one. My dear friend, I want to beseech you, I want to plead with you to give your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus today. Surely it's time to be saved. Prepare to meet thy God. It is time to seek the Lord with all your heart. Romans 10 verse 9 is very clear, and it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And there you'll see that you have to pray, to call on the Lord. You must believe that he is now risen from the dead, the living Lord Jesus. Would you pray with me and ask the Lord to save you? Let's unite in prayer. Father in heaven, remember those souls that need to be saved, those who are filled with fear for time and eternity. Oh, I pray that today, that by your Spirit you will draw them to repentance of all sin and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is Lord, that he is living and a mighty Savior to save. Oh, Lord, in your power, hear the cry of some soul today, and may you draw each one to yourself. Thank you, Lord, that you died for us. Thank you, Lord, that you're living for us. Thank you, Lord, one day you're coming again. We put our trust in thee. In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Thank you for listening Amen. To our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.